What is up, dreamers?
Good evening.
That is a ridiculous one. It's Friday the 22nd of April, and this is the Get Lucid podcast, the podcast all about lucid dreaming. My name's Joe, and with me today is not only the usual Thomas Smith, but we have some cheeky episodes for the final episode. Cheeky people for the final episode. Sean and Danny join us again from the Lucidity Web Saga. Say hello, guys.
Hello!
Or make bird noises, it's up to you. How's it going, everyone? How you lot been since we last talked to you, anyway?
Things have been good. I think Danny might explode from being busy. Or fat.
Oh!
Or just from ejaculation.
Too much of all three, that would be a bit of a messy
Danny
messy
makes
demise.
Music, has sex, and eats food.
So you're basically living the dream that everyone wants.
Not in that order.
Well, which order are
food first, always.
Food first. You have to have your breakfast.
Food first,
and
get on swimming. That is it.
Actually, well, I mean, this has nothing to do with dreaming, but lately I've been addicted to health smoothies. I eat one, like, every day.
Health smoothies?
Seriously.
Well, like the fruit ones?
No, like from, like, herbal life.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
I'm in a smoothie cult right now. I go very cultish.
Is it working? Is it good?
You getting healthy?
I don't know. I just can't stop.
I'm addict.
They just put loads of heroin in them. It's like, oh, they're just too good.
It's so delicious. Don't drink it, you inject it. It's much better.
That is the best way to inject. Why are we talking about this? You see, you guys just as off topic as we are.
The good
make sure
is
you never share a smoothie with anyone else.
I haven't had any smoothies in my dreams yet, so it's not a serious addiction.
You know, good health can lead to better dream recall or something.
That's
vitamins.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. There's the Lucid 101 tip right there. Drink some health smoothies.
Shame we're alcoholics.
I know eating bananas actually does. There's a vitamin in bananas that's supposed to help with dream recall. Because it activates some part of your brain.
There you go.
I hate bananas, so I don't eat them. But
I like bananas. They're quite tasty.
You should eat one before bed. I mean, it might like invoke some weird dreams with phallic objects.
Yeah, I was actually going to say a similar thing. It would be a bit weird if a banana showed up.
Just all the time.
That's actually a really good point, Sean. Aren't there like a bunch of... There's a bunch of things you can do, like, herbally and, like, with vitamins that will help you have better dream recall. Seriously, it has so much to do with your intoxication.
You see, I find whenever I'm absolutely smashed off my face, I can't actually lucid... I can't even recall dreams full stop for, like, 2 days.
Oh. You're not sleeping, you're passed.
Yeah, well, I'm literally alcoholed out.
Alcoholed out,
yeah. So I normally wake up either in some urine or, you know, naked somewhere in a park, maybe. So I don't really have many dreams in those sort of nights. But, well...
I hope your dream characters are just dealing with a really drunk dream version.
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome if that was the case.
And you're just acting like an ass.
You're just puking and hitting on everyone.
Well, I do that anyway. Well... Give it my best shot anyway. Well, whilst we got you guys on, we might as well have a little quick chat about your show. Seeing that you guys have done so well recently with the LA Webfest, just quickly, I thought, you know, I know there's quite a lot of people that listen to the show that haven't listened to the previous episode. So if you guys want to give a quick rundown on the show, it's the Lucidity Web Saga. So if you just give a quick brief explanation.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Lucidity, it's the... Basically, it's about two roommates who kind of mysteriously share each other's dreams, but to them that was never important, and they just kind of ignored it. And the show starts as the dream world is kind of knocking at their door a little bit more, and it forces them to learn to lucid dream to kind of control this weird connection that they have. And in doing that, they uncover the insanity that lies underneath the real world.
The depthless bounds of the dream world.
it's an awesome show, so, and you guys do it in a comical way, so I do encourage everyone to check it out. And like I said, you guys were invited to the LA Webfest, and didn't you win some awards or something like that? I can't really remember.
Yeah, we won 3 awards for directing and special effects and editing.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything that I don't do.
No, you're directing. You do it right.
That's true. Sometimes I wave my arms around.
Well, I don't know anything about the art. Oh, shit. Lost my microphone. Sorry. it's recovered. Don't worry.
Okay.
Well, no, yeah. So, where can we find your cheeky web saga?
It's on our website, which is iiiproductions.com.
Makes you sound like a pirate.
Yep. Yeah. That's how you remember it.
There you go.
And it's a Roman numeral 3, or just Google Lucidity Web Saga, and you find it that way really easily.
It's very important to point out that it is a web saga.
Not a web series.
So you have to be ready to invest a good, 10, 20, even half an hour of minutes, because the dream world is spent in hours. So we do our best to cover all the shit that can go on there.
And you do a good job. So, and you haven't you got like a how many? It's like 5 episodes now. And how? What about your new episode? Have you got anything juicy planned, or have you done anything juicy?
The whole show was we definitely scripted the whole thing before we started.
Are we allowed to say that there's a certain? We have an amount of episodes. I mean,
you don't want to say the exact number.
I mean, there's like some serious crazy, destruction and evolution and death and.
Oh, mate, that sounds awesome.
All the things that, the story of George and Jason, just like Tom and Joe and everyone who listens and gets into the dream world, it starts very simple, but after a while it uncovers, some great truths about just the mystery of being and dying and
It's also going to have some really good dick jokes.
Yeah.
Which we
actually have
love.
A great poop joke. I mean, we have a
poop, that's right.
We have a poop joke that's like an integral plot line.
Just wait for it. You'll know it when you see it.
A well-written poo joke. I'm looking forward to it.
No, there's been some stuff where I think when I'm like in need of desperation, I'm going to start taking from some of your guys' dreams.
Oh, awesome. That makes it even more juicy for us.
Like the blanket stuck to the face, like the never-ending blanket that won't come off. I thought that was great.
It was so shit, because we both had the same experience. I mean, Smith, we both dealt with it in different ways as well, which was quite weird. But yeah, no, that was... well, since we've started talking about dreams, we might as well chat about our recent Lucidity ventures. I mean, Smith, if you want to start, crack out some of your dreams and stuff like that, and we'll...
come out. Well, first of all, Danny, you were in one of my dreams. Which was ridiculous.
That's awesome.
It was mental. But I wasn't lucid, but I just basically remembered the excitement that came of it. Because I was like, oh, yes, mate, how's it going? And that was it, really. But it was pretty cool. I've been, the lucidity stuff has been, I've just been doing really weird things recently. Like, do you guys believe that you can, like, precognate information in dreams?
After reading Robert Wagner's book, I'm totally down. He was the one that finally convinced me.
He just gives you so many like different ideas of what you can do in dreams that you wouldn't think are possible.
Yeah, it's such a great... so many experiments that they ran.
But I've just been going around asking dream characters loads of questions, like to see if I can gain information that I don't know. And I've seen Joe a few times, and I've asked him like things like, what colour socks was he wearing yesterday? And I hadn't seen him. And then I was told that he wore red and black. And he was wearing red and black.
Mm-hmm.
And then
but it's juiced me right up.
And what was that? What was that war thing as well?
Yeah, I asked Joe in a dream. I was like, tell me something that I can tell you that you'll be like surprised when I tell you? And he goes, well, why don't you say this phrase? And it was like, your war, whose war, what war? And I said that to him. And Joe wrote a comic, what was it, like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Called War, War, What Is It Good For? So it's kind of like...
It was quite weird because it went with it. So it was like, whose war, your war, 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 what is it good for? Like, literally. It was really strange.
Wow.
Like, I think...
Well, so just the fact that it hit with you, Joe.
Yeah, it was really weird. Like, even if it was... Because we couldn't think if it would be remotely close to it. We thought it wouldn't be at all. Especially if it was a random phrase. I mean, there's so many things you could say, but the fact that it even remotely connected was nuts. So, I mean, it doesn't prove anything, but it's still awesome.
You keep pushing these sort of weird, like things that aren't really, like, covered that much, like, about the dream world in that way. But lucidity-wise, I've just been asking loads of dream characters of things and just flying everywhere. Didn't get laid.
Yes.
No sex, but Joe's been getting a bit.
Mm, a little bit.
Bit of gay sex.
No, none of that. Donkey sex, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few just randomly successful lucid dreams. One of them definitely hinted at a shared dreaming experience.
Ooh.
Oh,
sometimes I sleep next to my girlfriend, who is actually Astral Girl in the show.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Nice.
And I had a dream that I was in California, and it was reminiscent of when I was in marching band in high school and we went to Disneyland and shit.
Right.
So I actually walked around Dream Disneyland, and it's way cooler than Disneyland. I remember thinking that I missed my girlfriend. So I lucidly, astrally projected to her in a dream. Does that make sense? So I left my body to see her
right
in my dream.
Wow.
But
mental.
Yeah, but when I saw her, she was in a hotel room. And
all right, yeah.
We know where this one's going. I can feel the winks. Like, wink, wink.
And it's so funny that you say that, because there is a section that I'm going to leave out.
Oh, you can't ruin it.
I guess, yeah, I mean, this will be the test to see if my girlfriend listens to the show. Well, anyway, yeah, I was like, hey, baby, you know, let's do this. You know, I'm in an astral body. Will it work?
Feels great.
And she's like, no, you know, everyone will know that I'm being raped by you astrally, you know? It'll be obvious, you know, I'll be, you know, like, sweating and making noises and stuff. And then I realized that the whole thing was defunct, you know, like, a lot of times I avoid that someone is a dream character because I want to hang out with them like they're real. Is that bad?
I think that's how you should treat them, because if you start treating them as, like, not real, you're almost saying that they're fictitious.
Yeah.
And then you're not, like, really giving much importance to the dream.
I think you should class them
as real. They are real, really. They are real.
I think the funniest thing about dreams is people are like, well, you know, it's just you, but it's like, but you're so rarely controlling. It's just like here. Like, I'm not controlling Danny. Like, I can say that he's my dream character, but I can't...
Oh, you don't control their responses. No. That's the goal. Well, that's the shit that you can't think of.
I was talking to some...
But anyway, what I usually do whenever I have a dream with my girlfriend in it that I'm lucid in, I wake up on purpose and wake her up and ask her. I was like, what are you doing? What were you doing? You know?
So I'm getting woken up by you, you dick. God.
So, and it is always kind of like that, but I have to check, you know. And then I'm always
important.
And then I'm always pissed off though that I didn't stay, because it was more fun there than her just being angry, not remembering what she was sleeping or dreaming about.
You could get someone else involved as well.
Oh,
right,
the dream.
And that's true. It could, yeah. It could go some places, but yeah, we'll see if she's listening. Anyway, I think that she told me the next day that she had an entire dream where she was trying to get to California because I was telling her to come there. So That was definitely like a serious shared dream.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. So like when they say shared dreaming, it's not as literal as like you're in the room together, bit, yeah. just having a conversation.
It's not
you
like wake a co-op like, dream.
Yeah, because like when you go to sleep, me and Joe could just like have a massive podcast chat and then wake up and be like, that was well good. But it's more like, I think dream sharing is more like, more abstract, like you're saying there, like the events crisscross and stuff.
Yeah, and I always wish that I actually had a shared dream sometimes with someone and I can't verify it. You know, I wonder if they were there, if they had something in their dream. Like, I had an entire lucid dream with Jesse Ventura, who's the shit, by the way.
Yeah.
Jesse Ventura. If you guys, anyone, you have to watch his show. It's called Conspiracy Theory.
Right.
All right.
It's so fucking genius. I mean, Jesse Ventura, he's like, he says it in the beginning. He goes, I was a veteran, a congressman, a governor. I've seen things that'll blow your mind. And now I'm here to expose the truth. And it's a real thing. I mean, he's actually just a pissed off ex-wrestler.
He sounds like the masked magician of government. He's just going around fucking giving the secrets away.
He's like revealing the secrets.
Yeah, it's like, don't do that. No, you're going to ruin our careers.
But he's just angry that he wasn't told about them. So he's telling everyone. And you have to watch his show. It's called Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura. He basically proves, or at least proves there's some validity to most major conspiracy theories. But anyway, I had a dream with him. And it was lucid, and I showed him force powers, and he was impressed. Yeah. And I had to use them against the government because they were trying to get us. I mean, you know, it fit entirely. But I want to know so badly. I mean, I wish I could send this podcast to him now to see, Jesse Ventura, did you have a dream with me? I mean, he seemed really affected by me showing him force powers. Like he had no idea that force powers were something that were a real attainable experience, you know, like I was pushing tanks back for this guy.
He's like, wait, that's the teats, how'd you do that?
Right. Well, and he just looked affected, you know, like someone just found God or something.
Right, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
So right. I hope I helped. I don't know, we'll see. I love that man.
He'll come up on his next show and be like, this kid in my dream, he changed my life.
He'll do a lucid dreaming conspiracy episode.
Shared conspiracy lucid dream. Well, what about you, Sean? I mean, surely you must have had some cheeky lucid dreams as well.
Dude, Sean actually had a couple really good ones.
Yeah, I had a potential shared lucid dream.
Ooh.
With
a lifelong friend of mine, Victor. I have a lot of dreams in this crazy hotel that I'm like running out of, which is just like consistent for years. But I was in this weird hotel again. And my friend Victor was there with me. And like at the same time, we realized that we were in a dream. And so I pulled him to the side because he's, you know, he listens to me talk about all the dream stuff. But he's like a pretty piss poor dream recall. Right. And, you know, he cares about school. And but you know, he does try. But so I was just telling him, I was like, we need to think of us like a word to remember when we wake up, like focus, rub your hands, like touch the wall, like we need to like
lick the carpet.
Yeah, you guys lick the carpet. I'll do that one. But I just had this huge intense conversation with him about how we needed to verify that we were both here. And I woke up and I typed it all on my phone, but he doesn't remember anything from that night. That sucks.
God damn.
But I did have a good Robert Wagner inspired lucid dream.
Oh yes,
Robert Wagner.
I don't remember how I got lucid, but there was a child and I just got lucid and I asked him, I was like, what do you represent? And God, I had this one written down. I should have reread him over before, but he said something that he reminded me of. He was there to remind me of innocence and like freedom or something. I wrote it down in the dream.
That is so cool.
That is crazy.
But yeah, it was really cool to actually finally talk to you know, I don't think you should treat them like dream characters, but questions like that I think are really good.
Well, that's what's funny. Sean, even you had another dream where you like insulted a dream character by accidentally calling them one.
Oh no, that was like
oh no.
And I was in the squeegee van. And we were driving somewhere. I was with this girl in the back seat. Nothing going on.
No.
And I just tapped the seat. And I was like, this is a dream. I said it out loud. I was like, this is a freaking dream. And she just rolled her eyes at me. I said, no, but that doesn't make it not real. It's like, we're both here. Like, it's still real. Like, it's real. And then she looked angry, so I just left. But I lost it after that. I have this weird problem where it's like, I feel like the camera is like somewhere between first person and third person.
Yeah, we get that stuff. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we get that as well. I think that's actually like a, just the whole, the fact that because you're the dream and yourself, if you get what I mean,
yeah,
like you can't depict everything. So it kind of just gets melded and you get confused in what person you're actually being told the story. It's very strange. Mm-hmm.
What's crazy are wilds. I usually feel solidly in my astral body with a wild. It's like, I don't feel like the environment in most of my wilds. But dildos.
Oh yes.
The pink dildo.
I often feel part of the environment and myself.
You see, the last lucid dream I had was a wild, actually. It was quite strange because I fell through my bed. And that's definitely because of Smith previously saying about him falling through his bed, and I like fell through my bed and then realized that I was on my floor, my bedroom floor, and I said, well, if I'm on my bedroom floor, then I'm definitely dreaming. I can't have just fallen out of my bed and be lying on the floor. So I opened my eyes and I knew instantly. I was like, yes, in a dream. It was pretty weird, but I talked to my higher self. Well, I attempted.
Oh, this is amazing, this story.
Yeah,
explain.
Well, basically, like, I shouted out, I was like, I want to talk to my higher self. And I heard this like big booming voice, but it wasn't booming around. It was like, booming in my head. So like I heard him and he was like, you've got to bring the seed to the blue windowsill. And I was like, what does that mean? What the fuck is that meant to mean?
It's important.
And then he said, you'll know what it means. You'll know. And I was like, well, what the fuck? Like, so I reached into my pocket, right? I reached into my pocket and I pulled out this weird fucked up thing, and I was like, well, this must be the seed, right? So I went downstairs in my house, and there's like I've got like a kitchen that's blue themed, if you want to call it, and there's a windowsill, right? So I was like, well, shit, this is the only windowsill in the house, it's blue-ish. So I went to put the seed on the windowsill, and this fucking fit woman walked in, and I was like, oh, hello, love. And then boom, that's it. I didn't worry about the fucking seed anymore. And,
why didn't you put the seed on the window?
Well, I had my
fun.
How
you activate it.
I had my fun with the girl, and then I woke up, and I was like, shit! I definitely had Adam and Eve.
Was that your first lucid sex?
No, I'm just a dickhead.
Okay. I was here about your frigid...
My frigid dream character.
Your higher self got you laid.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was a dick. My higher self's a knob, because that's twice now that he's been a dick. Like, he tempted me in with a... with a woman, so I couldn't talk to him.
Oh.
And the other time, he made a blow up doll instead of a real woman.
Wait, so you didn't put the seed on
the
sill?
No, I did. The woman,
this bird.
And the chick walked in.
Oh,
so I got Adam and Eve. I literally ate the apple.
But it is true. I feel like it's like the dream does always, you know, if I can throw an attractive chick in front of you, and you not just instantly like fuck it, then I will continue to converse with you on a real level.
Yeah.
But if you just put your stuff in it, I'm not going to have this conversation anymore.
It's just like the Bardos, dude, the orgy part of the Bardos.
It knows it. I think that I kind of talk to him as a bloke, really, like, and just as myself, really, just chummy. I'm quite chummy with my dream, self, I think. well, I try to be. Well, I just think, fuck it. Like, I'll see if I can talk to him, and then
add him on Facebook.
Yeah, add him on Dream
Facebook. Trying to kill it, there's probably a problem.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I think I kind of avoid my dream self. I should probably deal with that.
We see if you. I think if you befriend him, somehow, it's like, so, I'm attempting to do.
It's just like your one's playing pranks on you.
Yeah, my one's being a knob. He's like playing some pranks, tempting me away from.
He's just like, yeah, here you go.
I think it knows, like, obviously my personality, I'm a bit, I love to have a joke and shit. So I think it knows somehow that I'm going to go a bit mental when it gives me situations that I should be serious in. And I think when I'm ready, once I've got over the novelty factor of dreams, I'll be like, right, look, I've had sex with this woman about 20 times now. Going to put the seed on the windowsill. And then that's it.
Instead of putting it up her.
It's going to grow into a beautiful portal you need to enter.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that was my weird-ass lucid dream. I mean, we've had quite a few, but those are pretty much the prominent ones. So
that one's amazing.
It's been pretty awesome this last couple of weeks. So
oh, I had one where I was like, I thought I was like the Hulk. I didn't actually see my body, but I felt massive. Jumping, like, because I'm tiny in real life. Yeah. Being the Hulk size for me is like double. And I was like jumping, like, you say, like, you want to do massive jumps. And like, I've done massive, like, leaps before in dreams. But,
oh,
like,
yeah.
But you like, you do a massive jump and you say, oh, that was a massive jump. But you like, you almost limit yourself to what a massive jump is. And I'm like, yeah. Well, ooh. I just want to do the biggest jump that I can't even conceive. And I was just leaping across the dream scene. It was so cool. And then like, there was like, it was like a snowy mountain. Like, they had gondolas going up it. And I was sort of like, I went to jump onto the, like, gondola and go into flight, but I felt myself losing control. And I was like, well, I'm just going to hook myself onto, like, the wire that was holding the gondolas. But I didn't have anything on me. And I just pretended that I had a hook in my pocket and just literally, like, pretended to pull it out and then hook over the gondola line. And I was, like, gliding down it. Just, and I was, there was nothing in my hand. It was just that act of, like, I knew it was there. There was no like act of like thinking, oh, I might fall off. I just knew that it was fine, even though there was nothing in my hand. So like, you can like pretend to do stuff and it will start to happen.
That's just how you activate it. You're not pretending anymore.
100% confident that you can do it.
Yeah, dude, that's faith, dude. We got it.
Yeah, faith in the dream. Faith, it's faith in yourself, basically.
Yeah, it's just confidence in yourself, isn't it?
Just know you're the tits.
Yeah. Well, I got a really good tip today, actually. I was talking to, as you guys know, like me and Smith go on the Dreamviews forum, and I talk to like the people in the chat most days. We have like a little morning crew that have little chats, and basically one of the guys, his name was King Yoshi, I think, I hope so, but he said to me, he said, like, I was talking to him about the struggling with the dream control and stuff, and he said, instead of trying to conjure up stuff, even like imagining doing it, he said, try and manipulate your environment. So for example, he said, say you wanted to fight loads of ninjas and shit, he said, walk up to a dream character and just say, shit, what have you done? And then the dream character will respond, and you'll say, the ninjas are coming now, you've nicked all their money, they're gonna fucking come now. And literally, like, 2 minutes later, they'll just all burst in and like start fighting and shit.
Just set it up.
Yeah, he said, like, become an actor in your dream and just set
up
the scene.
Yeah, they murdered his dream character.
Yeah, and he said, like, know the dream characters, like, even if you don't know them, we've never seen them, just go up and be like, you're right, Jane, how's it going, bitch? Yeah. And then,
then you up for round two? Get it out.
So, like,
I've never seen you before. You have now, love.
So yeah, like, and I thought that was an awesome tip, because I haven't tried it yet, because I literally heard it this morning, but tonight when I lucid dream, and I know I will,
cause I'm no, it's true though, I think that works, because like, it's like what I was saying, like, you just, it's 100% belief in what you're doing is true.
Yeah.
And it works just that you just, it's just like, you know for fact that what you're doing will happen. If you've got a slight bit of doubt, then that's when it starts to go a bit...
It starts to get a bit more difficult, but...
Like,
I mean,
it happens in flight quite a lot, I've noticed with me. Like, I'll start to fly and I'll lose control.
See, I don't get it with flight that much. I literally, as soon as I'm going, that's it. I've got the power.
You break the sound barrier.
Yeah, boom.
What'd you broke at that?
People, I think what people forget is that doubt is a belief. And so when you doubt yourself, you believe that you are not capable or that something is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So you just need to remember that you're believing all the time and that you might as well just do the cool version, which is where shit is working out, because that's the more desirable reality.
Yeah, but conflict is story, I mean. Yeah.
Oh, but dude, the conflict comes, dude. You think I didn't want the government to attack me and Jesse Ventura so I could fucking save him with dream powers? Dude, yeah, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but I did this. Me and Jesse, we actually got...
I love how you're on first name terms with him now.
Oh, dude, we're buddies, dude. We hung out all night, dude. And he was that was an example of where I didn't want to tell him that we were in a dream,
right?
Because I didn't want him to start worrying about our relationship as just, you know, regular friends that are hanging out.
No, I know what you mean. Like you said, if you're treating dream characters real, then
they
start throwing that spanner in the works.
It was real. I mean, but yeah, I really hope, like, that was him. But
the whole thing of like defining what's real.
All right, well, but instead of saying treating them real, you know, you treat them like you would in a waking state is probably a better way of saying it.
Okay, yeah I like that. That's, yeah, no, that's well put. But you know what I did was we got cut off when we were running away the first time, and literally it got like ridiculous. It only like 10 seconds, suddenly tanks and like giant like helicopters, and then it all ended with a plane flying down and crashing into the part of the street that we were being held up at, which is ironic because that's what Jesse's always complaining about 9/11. So this plane fucking crashes into us, and I remember it was just like bright whiteness. I was like, okay, this is that part where the dream is ending itself. But I seriously wanted it, dude. So I don't know what I did. I was like, hold on, change it. Go back to when, go back. And it was like just bright whiteness, and then it kind of took form, and then I was back with him in front of the house.
That is amazing.
Before we got to the other part of the street. It's like a choose your own adventure book, and I went back.
That is wicked.
Oh,
and
man.
So it's like, you can really hang on to that stuff, dude. I mean, I couldn't believe it when it worked. I couldn't.
Oh,
I was sure I was going to wake up.
Like that confidence in like doing what you can do in a dream, like just knowing that you can do it, it applies to actually just gaining lucidity, I think. Like, just know you can gain lucidity, and don't worry about like, or think it's hard or hard thing to achieve, because it's not really. It's that doubt that you have, and like,
and also this seems weird, but I was also talking to some people, and they were saying, oh yeah, I've lucid dreamed 16 times this month. And I was just like, well, does that really matter, really? Like, how many times you get it? And I said, the reason I find that is because you're putting extra pressure on yourself to lucid dream, as if it's some sort of, you know, competition.
You gotta keep score or something.
Yeah, and I said, I don't know how many dreams I've had now at all. And I've got no goals of how many dreams I'm going to have, or, you know, if it happens, it happens. And most of the times I do get lucid is because I go, right, I'm lucid dreaming tonight. It's going
to
happen.
Yeah, exactly. Just knowing that you'll do it. And
I always try to tell people that it's one of the few things that's only you know. Like when you play a sport, like you have to dribble the basketball or kick the ball. But when you lucid dream or dream, it's, you know, it's you, your brain, your body, your thoughts. Like there's not you don't need to become good with an external tool. It's all internal.
Well,
and
exactly,
the
yeah.
ironic part is, since it's all based on belief, that weird, whatever path lets you believe it's easy, you know, whatever terms you need to use to call it, to allow you to be like, oh, okay, I can do that easily.
I think that what you guys are doing with the podcast, and maybe what we're trying to do over here with the Web Saga, and whatever anyone else does to try and talk about the unknown, and lucid dreaming is like an amazing section of that, having confidence is just a product of how badly you want to experience something. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even start with confidence. It starts with how much you want to search yourself and the unexplained, because, you know what I mean?
It's a quest for
because
knowledge, isn't it?
Basically, me and Joe are just, like you guys, we're just so juiced to find out all this cool, like, You just want to know, like you start to lose your dream. You're like, oh my goodness, there's so much stuff that I don't know about. And
there's
like,
so
many
questions and great like opportunities to explore while in that dream state.
You have to want to seek.
Yeah.
So much that you accept no other alternative. You know what I mean? So it's like you guys are doing it, man. We got to do it. Everyone has to start lucid dreaming.
Exactly. It's so good. I mean, I'd much rather have a lucid dream than, oh, I don't know, like some of the other bullshit stuff I do. Like, it's just so good. And like, it's a part of life that like, we've only just discovered it's actually a part of being alive, like lucidity and the dream world. But like, it seems to just be ignored, but it's and like once you realize that this is other side of life, then you look at life like a bit differently. You're like, well, there's so much more stuff to it than I didn't even really realize. That's just so juicy. I'm getting excited.
Talk about like treating the like, you know, dream characters as if you're in waking state.
Yeah.
It's funny because like, you know, you could go up to, you know, a normal person and say you're a dream character, and they might kind of be like, ah, fuck you, you're a prick. But like, if you went up to like a Buddhist monk and said you're a dream character, they'd just be like, thank you for creating me. So it is, you know, there are religions that are based around lucid living, like that you guys
talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, there is a conspiracy there, dude. This is ancient mystical knowledge that was celebrated for centuries in religions that you were never taught about in high school.
Well, it is. I mean, there's thousands of years of research that's gone into this in weird ways, and it's very strange that it's not as known as it should be.
Yeah, I don't get it, because it's something that's so, like, so, it's amazing.
No one questions
and you do it
the natural dream.
Everyone just like, oh,
yes,
learn
how to do
good.
So many unnatural things, you know.
It's actually frustrating that no one... You know, you get the occasional person at work or you know, at school or wherever you are that goes, oh, last night I had a really fucking weird dream. And that's about it. That's all we talk about.
Yeah, they end it there. They just said it's there. Yeah, and it's like, I'm going to have a shit now.
Yeah. After.
Or the sex dreams.
Or the sex dreams. Or, I just won the lottery dream. You know, stupid bullshit. And
right.
It's a shame. It's a shame that no one sort of goes, oh, man, I had a really boring dream last night. I went to work. Blah, blah, blah. Like, just talking about every dream. I mean, surely it should be something that people talk about as a whole, rather than, you know,
not
just
lucid
dreaming. We talk
about our daily lives all the time.
I mean, it's probably just a symptom of the general human disease, which is not having, you know, like, being afraid of higher potentials, of infinite potential, infinite possibilities. You know?
I'm starting to see lucid dreaming. It's just literally this whole thing is just part of our evolution of like we're evolving more and more.
Yeah,
and
but
we're
you say that,
more
Smith.
Aware.
You say
I
that,
totally
but years agree. And years ago they were way into it than we are now. So in a weird way, we've kind
yeah,
of got through
got,
this stagnant
got,
moment where it's
yeah,
it's not
it got
really
caught up in the bullshit though, didn't it?
Yeah,
it
that's
got caught
what I mean.
Up with the
so,
9-to-5 and
but,
fucking
dude,
bullshit.
A lot
stuff.
Of what I see in like when I look at like the last like 30 years of lucid dreaming, it was all the research, and now I feel like it's at a point where it's so accessible and so much good information
yeah.
that it can finally
yeah.
get to play.
It's becoming a sociable
yeah.
thing, you know.
Exactly.
And like, and actually saying that, we, as you know, we, you guys, talk to.
What is that?
Was that?
What was that?
Have we lost them?
Hello,
I'm here.
Oh no, that
just
was
just sound like someone just went mental.
Yeah, that sounded like a crazy wank, really quick.
Oh, dude, I know what happened.
So no, excited.
That's all right.
No, hold on. Is it going to happen again? Hold on.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
I'm so glad the webcam ain't on.
Yeah.
This is my girlfriend's laptop, and I thought it was dirty, but it's just the microphone.
It's a little dent where the microphone is. Oh, there's a spot.
Just smashed the mic.
That's quite amazing. Yeah, sorry. As we were saying, we had an interview for a magazine this week. In London with
Andy, right?
Yeah, with Andy, the
That's
guy.
That's so awesome.
Oh, we loved it.
It was awesome. But we talked to him, and he said he had like a few friends that came with him, you know, to talk to us. Well, not to talk to us, but just to be there. And he said that two of them thought we were going to be like these aging hippie blokes, you know, waltzing in. And then we got there, we're like, whee!
We literally, he said, let's meet in the park. And we're like, nah, let's go to a pub.
So we went to the pub, started drinking straight away.
Effie Blonde is delicious.
It's delicious beer, 6.6%.
6.6, yeah.
Yeah, so we had a crazy day, and it was just very strange that, you know, they both thought that we were some sort of weird hippie spiritual cut guys, and
yeah.
You know, we're just the you know, everyday blokes, and just with a massive passion for lucid dreaming, which is quite a weird combination. But like you said, I think it's almost becoming the stage that's the acceptable point now, is that it's everyday people getting involved, and I think that's how
it
should be.
It's a normal thing to lucid dream. It's just that just because not many people do it, or it's not as well talked about as you know, going to the shops and buying a magazine, it's such a normal part of life, lucid dreaming.
Yeah,
but it's got this weird like thing around it, like
it's almost a stigma, isn't it, you know?
Because, and the worst thing is now, because like us lot, we're so used to like the dream world now, and it's kind of the norm. When you start talking to people in such a relaxed manner, they're just like, you're mental? Like, yeah, I went blind last night, yeah, and then,
actually,
you know, did all this stuff and loved it. And you're like, what the hell's wrong with you? What are you doing?
Danny's mom is like fears it, actually. She's
yeah,
been putting
my mom's
that on my
same.
Facebook. Just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, they're just like, what are you doing? You're messing around with your head and stuff. You're like, oh, shut up, love.
Well, see, my mum doesn't necessarily think that, but she's just scared that, you know,
you're going to rape someone.
Not even that.
Dude, or that you'll like it so much more than normal life.
Oh,
or,
I get that a lot.
They separate it. I don't think it needs to be separated from waking life.
It's part of
your life. Like that at all.
Well, we're doing it in life. It's not like...
Exactly. Dude, it's the... No, you're right, Tom. It's the conscious evolution. It's happening, baby. We're discovering the ancient secrets. Seriously. And you know what's cool is that we care about this on our own. You know what I mean? You just find that shit out, and it's awesome. And then you go for it. And we can reach out to everybody that we can to try and ask them about their experiences. And there was just one kid that hit me up on Facebook, dude. I've never met this kid. He lives in some other state. And he told me all about how reptilian aliens were chasing him in his dreams.
Wow.
And now, you know, we could talk about reptilians another time. But regardless, he was definitely, like, he was not happy about it. But he said that he was lucid. And so I was like, dude, fucking turn around and confront that motherfucker. Yeah. And he told, the next day, it was this simple. He was like, I tried it. It was amazing. You know, like...
It's literally like the first time you have Nutella. That's how you should explain lucid dreaming. It's delicious.
That was an awful... that was an awful explanation of how...
The best part now, but nowadays too, is so many people I can convince where, you know, it's scientifically proven, you know, you know, DJ LeBee.
Yeah.
And MC Rheingold.
You can do the test yourself. Like one of our producers on the show, Simon Navarro, constantly just loves giving us shit whenever we tell him about a lucid dream. He's like, sure you did.
Yeah.
We have a friend like that.
Until
we had one, yeah.
Exactly. That's the best thing that could happen is when someone mocks it. And then one night it just happens and their whole life is different.
And you know what? They're that much more likely for it to randomly happen to them because they argued with you about
it. Yeah, definitely.
So it's totally worth bringing up even if it leads to an argument.
You see, I've said this before and I still think it reigns true is that even though we've said it to people, anyone that I've ever explained it to, I still think that they would have lucid dreams pretty close afterwards. But the problem is that they don't remember it.
Yeah.
We've had lucid dreams where we wake up and we're like, shit, I know I was lucid, but what happened? Or we'll wake up and we'll remember back, and then it'd be like, shit, I was lucid last night, and you don't realize until later on. So you know that you're not remembering all of these. And
yeah, there has to be so many. Because even if I remember, at an amazing night, like, 3 or 4 dreams, I still don't think I think there's, another, 3 or 4 you're missing.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that the most legal drug, alcohol, is the most widely consumed on Earth, and it affects dream recall the most.
Oh,
that's funny.
Tell me about it. I don't remember anything when I drink. I don't remember waking up, let alone dreams. So, there you go.
Oh, go on about your margarita incident.
No!
I think we should spread the truth.
It's not that great. I just drank a ton of margaritas.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man.
Or as I like to call them, Margarets.
Margarets. Get the Margarets.
Oh, Margaret.
Sip on the Margaret.
Right. Well,
see, now I'm all riled up and excited about dreaming.
Right, well,
I know. I've got salty lips.
We might as well answer some questions then, because we've got quite a few. So, seeing that we have you guys on, we'll get your opinions. Oh, what is it doing? Here we go.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get the emails up. Right.
I hear you clicking.
Right, here we go. We've got a question for you guys, actually. This is quite a weird question. It's from Andy. Andy Howlett.
Andy!
And he says, the only question I can think of to ask Sean and Danny is, what advice would you give to someone who is utterly shit at lucid dreaming? There you go.
I think it's a powerful combination of Tom's great explanation of believing in yourself and the dream journal.
Yeah, dream journal's definitely up there.
It sucks because I think everyone who even has a dream journal will explain to you how difficult it is to start and keep it up.
Yeah.
But
you know why I think the dream journal is the most, it's not because it helps you remember it, but it's because you're almost adding importance to your dreams. Because now the act of writing it down, you're making that dream important.
So yeah, it's like your brain knows you want it.
If you start if you think dreams is like not worth something, or kind of like, oh, I want a lucid dream, but you know, I still think it's kind of silly and not worth it.
Like, you're just kind of waiting for it to happen. You do need, like, you know, it can't happen on accident, but it's good to instigate.
I've also, you know, it's just like if you think of a melody that you like, you should write it down immediately or record it, because then you activate more of your brain. So if you write, you have to use other parts of your brain for it. That on your creative side of your brain, you forget things pretty easily. And that's part of the reason that writing it down is like scientifically a good idea.
Yeah, and it's like when you study for like exams and stuff, you're meant to write stuff down that you've learned and things like that to revise. And it's it is completely true. I mean, that example of the melody I'm going to use, actually, because that's a really good example. So,
well, and then you can come back to it later and like it even more than when it initially just happened to you.
Yeah, and get more information from it, like in that term, and work on it as well. Because sometimes I found that I'll write something down, then I'll come back, and then I'll be like, oh shit, no, but this happened, and I can go into detail, and
you start adding more meaning to it as well. Like, I'll write my dream journal down, like what happened in the dream, and then I'm like, oh, well, maybe this means that, and like, this is like, you start to remember sort of like your ideas, what the dream's trying to tell you and stuff. It's just such a good thing, writing it down. I don't do it enough.
It's also good to just, I think a combination of writing it down and then having a group of friends that totally just want to discuss it. Like, obviously you don't need to start a web saga or a podcast, but like,
it's the only way to do it at the moment, because everyone else thinks you're nuts.
Get all hopped up on coffee and talk about that shit.
Yeah.
Like, when I was growing up, my group of friends, they used to just always listen to me talk about my dreams each night. I never had a lucid dream until I was, 19. But in elementary school through junior high, my closest friends, it was normal for me to just talk about what happened in my dream. So I didn't have a dream journal, but I had a couple of really cool people that would listen.
And honestly, just a basic thing, and I'll keep coming back to this, because in my life, it's been a big deal that I don't know what Andy's up to, but anyone asking the question that Andy's asking, try just going to sleep totally sober a few nights in a row.
That is a very good point.
Seriously, like not drunk or high or on Xanax or who fucking knows what's going on. You know, just like
whatever your flavor.
Even
my flavor's dirty.
Even aspirin. Don't take it. Like, literally, just eat a salad or a fucking smoothie.
Oh, I don't know.
I think also doing wake back to beds and naps, because my first experiences were on accidents in the morning.
Yeah.
And still a lot of the time on accident, and I just gotta piss, do something. But
dude, naps, that's a big deal.
I love the naps.
And fucking watch, read weird shit online for an hour, and then go back to sleep.
You wake up, watch a podcast, go back to sleep.
Ooh,
we call it the piss back to bed method, because you wake up in the middle of the night, you're like, you know what, I need a piss. And then you'd be like, oh, just touch the walls, do the light switch, And then you're always just like, well, I know I'm going to be dreaming next. And you get juiced up on that during that piss.
Just because you needed a piss. Just because you drank water before you went to bed.
Those dream memories come flooding back. And you'd be like, oh, I'm going to get lucid now. Just get rid of this urine and get in that bed. Because you do wake back to bed methods. People say, like, oh, you stay up for a certain time. You can stay up to as long as you want, just as long as you're juiced enough, I think, to get into that dream and add importance to it and start to think what you might want to do. And you get in that dream, you're like, yes!
I think another good one is, like, you guys had mentioned some, like, the when you touch, like, every door you go through, but it does become maddening.
It's hard to do. It's really, really difficult.
I basically gave up.
You just pick, like, locations, Like, since I keep having lucid dreams in the cat and squeegee van.
Right.
Like, anytime I'm in that van now, like, that is my dream symbol. So I'm just going to be like, am I in a dream? Or maybe, just pick, you don't have to do every door, but maybe, like, whenever I walk through the door to the, like, at school, I'm going to check my reality there.
Like, main doors. And I think the overarching, like, point of that door one was just to sort of try and give you awareness, because you don't realize how many doors you go through. So why would you realize how many, if you're in a dream or not? It was just a bit of awareness. And you're right, it becomes really difficult. But if you can then take that concept and use it in a more direct fashion,
Like that thing about like you getting lucid in the squeegee van because you're in it so much. Like I have a lot of dreams where I'm at work because I'm always at work, like in Café Rouge. And like because of that, I'm just constantly like, oh, am I dreaming? This definitely could be a dream just because I don't want to be at work. And then if you find out it's a dream, like, yes, mate, fly off and go do something mental. Like,
my next lucid dream, Tom, I'm going to go to Café Rouge.
Oh, mate, I'll serve you a latte.
If you're going to find out if I went to the right one.
If you manage to go to Café Rouge.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a layout. I'll draw out where the chairs are, where your types of coffees, your menu. I'll give you the menu.
Oh, mate, they've got a new one. Did you hear about the new menu?
I did. Yeah. No, don't tell us.
Mental. It's well good.
It's all microwaved.
Mostly no, it's not. Microwave. The chicken's cooked fresh.
I just love ragging on the bad job.
I'm gonna vote for the microwave.
It's
delicious. If you have some dream food in Café Rouge, you'll love it. You will.
They need to pay you for this. This is bonus.
Oh, I don't know.
They're like Tiger Woods.
They do get so much advertisement, but at the same time, I think a lot of people that might listen to this who would go to Café Rouge would be like, right, I'm never going there again because this kid's nuts.
It's so ironic to constantly advertise a coffee shop in a lucid dreaming.
Something's trying to keep you awake forever. And then, you can dream.
Because everyone at work now, like, they don't really, they never knew about lucid dream, but they know the ins and outs of it now. And then, like, at the start, they're like, like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't, like, they're trying to link it with religion and try and make sense of it and thinking I was mental. And now, like, to this point of day, it's just like, have any lucid dreams in last night, Tom? Yeah, you mental case. It's like, it's the norm now to them that I talk about it so much.
That's the thing, it's the norm to everyone. It's just, it's trying to break that boundary, that first initial, oh, what the fuck? Like, and then after that, it's pretty
well,
sane.
They just have to want to, you know? And that's why sharing really fucking cool stories is important.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Geez. Wait, we should move on to other questions.
Yeah, I was just about to smash out one. Right.
That was all for you, Andy.
That was a massive section for Andy.
We love you, Andy. That is
much love to Andy.
He's awesome.
Everybody watch Zeus.
Yeah, we were going to shout out and give some cheeky...
I'll wait for the shout outs.
Yeah, we'll do it at the end. But... there we go. Right. I've got another one from Will. I cannot pronounce his surname, so I'm not going to try. Begins with a P. You know who you are. He said he has a quick question. He has trouble with flying in dreams. I try to take off, but all I do is jump a long distance. So what should I do to get myself to fly? We've already covered this a little bit because we said about the belief system. But has anyone actually had some crazy like little techniques or stories about flying?
Yeah, I mean, I think that super jumping and flying are very different things.
Yeah.
And that you should start with just trying to levitate.
Oh, that's tasty.
Seriously. Yeah, I mean, that's always... If I can get a good, like, levitation a few feet off the ground, then I kind of feel the physics of it.
Right.
And I get used to how it feels. And then at that point, I can figure out more, like, things like propulsion. But if you're just jumping... then you're going about it wrong. Relax and just try and levitate. That's for me.
Yeah, it's like that thing saying trying to run before you can walk, basically.
Yeah.
The dream drummer in the show, Austin Mack, he does all the drums and the music and squeegee,
right.
And he's in the fifth episode. But he actually gave me great advice years ago, which was don't try to fly, try to imagine what it feels like to fly. Which is just a very simple, subtle difference where... It's kind of in line with Danny, but that's actually been really successful for me, where you just imagine like you already are, kind of like what you did when you pulled that grappling hook from your side.
If you're thinking about how to do it, then it's probably not going to work, because you just need to do it. You know, obviously you don't know how to, but it doesn't mean that you can't do it.
A good thing... Yeah, God, sorry. I'm getting too juiced. Oh.
Yeah.
I've covered it liquid.
I was just thinking, I was trying to think of more flying stuff. When I use force powers, I just kind of go with it, you know? I just go with it. I just try and feel it out.
Imagine that force.
That I can lift or move something. And it just, you know, it just fucking works, you know? Don't worry about it. Just fucking float.
See, I got really lucky. I just, well... I say lucky. I think it was just the mind frame I was in. I just ran outside and just jumped in the air and I flew. Basically.
Sometimes it does happen. Yeah. I remember once I literally stepped out my front door of my house and I like shot up like a rocket without really even intending to fly. I thought, oh, I might fly out. Bang! And just like shot off into space. Like, it was sort of uncontrollably. But like the two things that one of the major things that I thought was well good that Robert Wagner, I read about in Robert Wagner's book, and that was like, if you're sort of like, I don't know, sort of bumbling about in the air, or like you've got a bit of flight or you've done a big jump and you can't really control it, if there's something in the distance, like, I don't know, you say, like, I remember in one of my dreams I was sort of flying in the air, but I was almost getting lifted up into the sky, and I felt like the dream was fading, and I just looked at this one pink flower that stood out to me, and I just focused on that pink flower, and I just looked at it intently, like looking at that pink flower, and it just drew my flight in towards it. So like just focusing on one particular object that's like maybe far in the distance, you find that you get drawn towards it. And also, like Joe did the sonic boom thing because he saw a game. So like if you can relate it to something, it might help. But like definitely. Just getting in the Superman pose, that works quite well. Just whack the arm on the hip and arm in the air.
Just Robert do the Superman. Wagner, you reminded me of this one. You don't have to rely purely on yourself. Like there's the way where you like,
yeah,
you know, you can use tools in the dream world as well. Yeah. You know, so if you hop into like a pair of, you know, flying boots, something, you know, even if you just look at a pair of shoes and say those shoes will make me fly. Actually,
just get an umbrella.
When I was a kid, I used to, there were moments where I knew if I jumped off my sister's bed, I could fly. I don't have these crazy flying dreams. I never knew what lucid dreaming was, but I could just recognize the feeling and just knew that her bed would send me flying. So that was kind of like always my catalyst. This is when I was way young, before any of this. So it's okay to use external tools to get what you want as well.
Just be as creative if you want, I guess, isn't it? Just go nuts.
I think if you are struggling with confidence in yourself, I think confidence in an item or a tool is a lot easier to obtain than to just fly, because it gives your logical mind a sort of a way to relate to the dream world. And I think that's probably a better tip is if you are struggling with like controlling yourself, which I find a bit easier. I find it's easier to manipulate myself than my surroundings, if you get what I mean. But so some people are the opposite. They find it easier to manipulate the surroundings rather than themselves. Yeah. And I think if you're one of those sort of people, then yeah, that tip sounds awesome. I mean, I might try it.
It is the same old whatever works.
I've never tried it, but like maybe you could just go pretend that you got air flight tickets in your pocket and get on a plane and then just jump out of it and see what happens.
But then you have to go through security and get felt up.
Oh yeah, like if you think about it too much, yeah.
don't make out you don't like getting felt up. That is
naked bodies.
How dare you? How dare you, sir?
Yeah. What's this kid's name that's trying to fly?
Will.
Will.
Will Purgoy.
I think the last real way that we could help Will is by letting him know right now that we believe that he can fly.
We believe in you.
I believe.
I know he can fly.
Oh. I fucking know. Yeah.
Rock me up.
In fact, Will, we can't wait to hear about your flying experience.
Yeah. Email us up and tell us. I want to hear all about it.
As long as it's within a dream and not in real life. Where you
record it if you can.
I'm not really up for hearing him take Virgin to America.
I waited 7 hours. The flight was delayed. It was shit.
And the if you can't do it, buy a green screen and just pretend.
Yeah, no, we know it. In fact, you've probably already done it. Tell us now.
Yeah, you've probably done it, but you've forgotten. So yeah, it's really easy to obtain. So there you go. Well, that pretty much covers most of the main questions. We get so many emails, and it's awesome. So thank you, everyone, to sending us emails. But obviously, most of them aren't questions. They're all like experiences, which is really cool. I mean, I try my hardest to reply back. I mean, this week we've had two people email us saying that we've been in their dreams, me and Smith.
Okay. Because of the pods.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I'm not sure if people have even seen us, but the fact that they've had like some sort
that's
of,
the best
and they
way.
Knew it
that's
was
so
us. Cool. That's awesome.
You guys are probably dashing.
They build the most attractive body for the boys.
Then they're going to go on the photos and be like, oh my God.
They're going to be disappointed.
Dude, pretty soon you're going to get that juicy email where they say that, you know.
Oh, I'm
at a little party. I've been waiting.
Oh, well, I'm just waiting to have the real life experience, really.
So they're like,
I do have, one disgusting. Question for you guys. Ooh, question for you.
Oh.
This is a question I've asked other intense lucid dreamers.
Oh,
in the future, if you by accident have children, how will you raise them with dreams and lucid dreaming?
I would personally give it, tell them that it's the most important thing of utmost importance, but I'd still let them make their own decision, but I'd let them know about it, because I didn't know about it when I was younger, so I'd give them the information and tell them my beliefs on it, but as you still got to let them make their own decisions in life.
Well, you know, I think a child could really progress at something.
Oh,
like
yeah, they'd smash it out. They'd be having sex before they were 15.
I think it's it's down to relatability.
Remember, only in the dream world.
I think it's down to relatability, surely. I mean, it, like you said, Sean, like, you know, you weren't really sure about lucid dreaming stuff when you were really young, but you still knew that feeling. So you knew how to control your dream in a weird sense.
You just didn't understand it.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of key. Like, if you put importance on dreams and you say, you know, tell me a dream, son or daughter of the future, then
or both.
Yeah, could have.
Oh God. Something.
You never know. Got to have a girlfriend for that, which you know, it's not happening. But basically, I think if you were to tell them about it, but make it relatable, you know, not overcomplicate it, and I think that's probably the best way. Well, yeah. My opinion, you know, of
doing
going
it
about
without
it.
Doing it without like shoving it down their throat, like just add importance to dreams without like going into detail, like saying, "Tell me your dreams," and like. What happened and like what do you think of dreams, and then just that interest will probably spark it naturally.
I mean, me and Smith sounds really, really quite sad when you say this, but we do it most days. It's once I finish work, there's like a small gap, about an hour between when I finish work and Smith starts work.
I'm walking
to normally work. He's going to work at that point, so I'll ring him and I'll say, did you have any cheeky lucid dreams last night? Yes, no, blah, blah. And it's the same with the dreams. We'll talk about normal dreams as well.
They're just as important plus
other stuff. Uh-huh. Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, that in itself, I personally think, is the reason we've progressed so quickly. You know, we talk to a lot of people and people are like, oh, I can't believe that you get lucid this often, and your knowledge is it's come along really, really quickly compared to, you know, most people, which I completely put it down to the fact that me and Smith are so involved in it.
The only problem is when you phone me, I'm walking through a public park every morning and I'm just, I can't control myself with the excitement. And then you just get these people looking at you like, this kid, what the, just calm down. What's he going on about dreams? You'll love this. When we did our interview with Andy.
Oh, yes.
We went to London. And there was like, we couldn't find a quiet spot to do it. We ended up doing it in Cafe Rouge in London. And me and Joe, we were loving
it. We went mental.
Towards the end, we had a few Leffy's blondes.
We had a few
getting
beers.
Well juiced, like starting to get well, like deep and like getting excited. And there's this couple next to us having like a quiet lunch. And it was like, oh, fucking hell, I'm finally going to die in a minute because these kids are just on acid.
And I kept looking around and I'd see her do that. You know, that crazy, the hand sign that you, when you swirl it around your ears. Oh, crazy. I kept seeing her do that and I was like, shit, these people think we're nuts. Like,
I actually accidentally had a really insane lucid dream that night.
What that night? Yeah, them people. Yeah. They're like, shit, I've got to find who they were.
Yeah.
Searching us down. But yeah, no, but I put our, if you want to call it, success in lucid dreaming down to the fact that we have someone to constantly talk to about. And I think if you gave, you know, a child that same connection within dreaming, I think you're going to, you know, you're pairing it with success. So there you go.
People, like, think about it like this. Like, we as a human race, society, we add so much importance to money that everyone in the world is trying to always gain money. So, like...
Massive robot voice, Smith.
Exactly. That was straight from Electronic Devices.
Oh, you've got a massive... You're straight from the future. Are you coming back to tell us that the future's shit and...
Yeah.
We need to stop using money.
We need to stop using money and start the Venus Project.
Dream currency.
The Venus Project.
Yeah.
Oh, Venus.
I'll trade you one lucid dream for that shirt.
You know, it's like, yeah, but as soon as you add importance to something, everyone's just like, oh, this is fucking well good. Like, money's shit. I hate it. I love dreams more than money, but like that's the mentality of it. As soon as you add like importance to it, it comes worth something. And like dreams, just love it.
And like dreams don't lose their value, you know.
Yeah.
Dreams, you know, that and drugs will probably be the only thing that we can trade later.
Underhand. Dream for some heroin.
Women always sell themselves.
You can't buy dreams, can you?
Oldest profession.
You could probably trade them. I hope you can trade them in the future. It'd be like watching a replay. Be like, oh, look, mate, check out my dream. And then you, like, filter it through them. And they're like, oh, shit, that was mental. That
would... dream catchers would go right up in price.
Dude, dream tube on the internet? That'd be sick.
That would be.
You'd see so many horrible things.
And awesome at the same time. Be such a balance.
No, if you did that, though, there'd just be even more porn on the internet than there is now.
Yeah, but it'd be the greatest porn of all, so...
There'd be just, like, these amazingly cute bunny-like dreams from six-year-olds on the internet.
Marvel versus Capcom, the porno. It's weird. Crazy. Not that I've had that dream.
You know what, that'd be really strange if you saw, like, an old man's dream, like, just before he was dying. You know, stuff like that.
Oh, God.
Then it would go mental. Well, no, even if it was his final dream, you know, and they somehow caught that.
Yeah, all the parents recording their baby's first dream.
The baby's first dream and the little...
this weird giant tit. Dude, I just had that dream.
What?
It's a recurring dream.
A giant tit?
The mono tit.
That's the best dream I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You're just surrounded in... beautiful liquids.
This delicious. Is lovely. Sounds like an ingredient for
You wake up with a massive quenching thirst for milk.
What are you going to say? Bone? You did set that up like you were going to say a massive boner.
It's not what's about boners, Joe.
I think we've devolved into some horrific chat. So right, start wrapping this bad boy up. Right.
Yeah.
So, have you two got any shout-outs for this week at all? Oh,
I've got a few that I could do.
Let's go. Let's grab them out.
I want to do a big shout-out to all the cast and crew of Lucidity, who constantly help us for no pay, and continue to do really weird things on camera that they don't understand. And I also think it's important that there's a huge shout-out for you two.
Ooh.
And all that you guys have done for this season. So, you are in the world listening. Clap. Yeah!
Oh, thank you.
Oh, golf clap. That is awesome. And
I love the bird noise.
In 1,000 years, when, like, junior high kids are listening to your podcast as part of their curriculum,
that's in my nation, at least.
Oh, yes. Daddy's nation. That sounds awesome.
If it happens, I'll think I'll get arrested.
101. A real class.
Right before they join the military.
Do you have any shout-outs?
I would like to shout out to the LA Web Fest, if anyone ends up listening to this, or anyone that was in the LA Web Fest. We met a lot of cool people there.
Mm-hmm.
And making a lot of web series that I was totally impressed by. And I think the world is waking up in many ways, and that free, open entertainment made by anyone on the internet is part of that wake-up, and it's really starting to take form, and I would encourage anybody to check out some of the web series that were up there.
McCracken. That was one. McCracken Live. Mind's Eye. It's another web series that's actually about dreams.
Ooh. Yeah, Mind's Eye. Ooh.
They're Canadian, so, you know, they're different than us. It's a different...
We'll have to check that out, because we might be able to get them on. You never know.
Yeah, that might definitely be cool, dude. So there's a lot of really cool web series to check out.
That's awesome.
That's tasty.
I would still love to just give a random shout out into the void to Robert Wagner, because his book is amazing.
It's so
good,
isn't it?
I love Stephen LaBerge. I love everyone else, but Robert Wagner, he was just a dude who did it on accident. And it slowly became his life. And his book gives you so many great experiments to perform, so many great, you know, instances that he recorded. And definitely check it out.
Guys, have you ever heard of Carlos Castanede?
I think I have.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I've read his book.
I fucking love his books. They're so good. There's one called The Art of Dreaming, and I've literally only just started it, but already I'm loving it. But there are some ridiculous, like, he talks about things in so abstract ways that, like, stuff that's...
Well,
that,
dreams are abstract, so...
Yeah, but, like, it's almost... Yeah, but it's so good, like, because he talks about how to stabilize dreams in a different manner, and I just love it. So
I'll
if anyone's up
out.
For some... If you've read a few books, that's the one I recommend. Carlos Castaneda. Castaneda. I can't read his name. The Art of Dreaming. It's just amazing.
Post it on the blog.
Yeah, we will.
I'll post it up.
I mean, this is the final episode of season one of Get Lucid as well. We will be doing a juicy break for us. I mean, it's more for us the fact that we're busy. Sorry, like, we'd want to keep going, but we can't at the moment. But we've
it's
got
okay,
loads
man.
Of stuff. We got loads of stuff planned. So
yeah, and. I think people will keep checking it out. There's enough episodes, man. I sometimes I catch Sean listening to the other episodes, and I'll sit in and check it out, and I really like what's going on.
Oh, tasty.
Another season. I guess we should also mention, we're working on episode 6.
Yeah.
It should be released in the end of May, and then we're going to record a bunch over the summer.
I'm also releasing the Lucidity music in a couple weeks, all of it.
Yes.
That stuff's pretty cool, and the theme song is already online on CaptainSqueezy.com. I actually woke up with that song, so it's a dream song.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, well, you might as well plug your band as well. I mean, they are an awesome band.
Yeah, we just finished recording in a pyramid.
Oh,
I saw some photos. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's super top secret, so I can't tell much about it. Just because the pyramid has me tied, but I'll tell you that the things we did in there, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how long they're allowed to be shown to everyone.
Awesome. So
my eyes are ready. That's all I can say.
A random shout out to Chris Lusang, because I know he listens to the podcast. He's one of our friends that has definitely hopped on board with you guys. A big shout out to him to keep listening.
Cool. Love
and also, yeah, I think that's all my shout outs.
I want to make a noise now.
I'm not doing another pig squeal.
Wait, season finale.
Season finale pig squeal. Now, I might do a separate podcast, an hour long pig squeal.
I want to hear it.
It'll be awesome. I can't do them anymore. My voice has gone all weird. I can't remember what episode it was on, but I'll try and find it for you guys later. It's quite funny. Have you got any shout-outs this week, Smith?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, I hope so. Do I have to remind you of what ones you meant to shout out
again? I've got Deadly Serious Productions.
Yeah.
And it's deadly funny as well. So check them out. Their website, well, he's got a few websites. If you go on a YouTube and type, Deadly Serious. You can add him on there, or if you go onto their website www.vimeo.com/Deadly Serious Productions.
That's Andy's
juice that he's making.
And
there's some really funny stuff on there. So definitely check that out. And also the magazine that me and Joe are going to be in. Although I don't know when it's coming out, but yeah, you can check out some other stuff that's already on there. It's the website is, how do I say it?
Tricycle. Just tricycle.
Tricycle.co.uk.
But it's spelt weird. It's spelt TRISICKLE, like tricycle rather than like puke.
Brilliant.
But yeah, check that out. And thank you, Andy Howlett, very much for the interview.
I like weird three websites.
Yeah.
So, that might be why they've got involved in the old three. But yeah, do I have any shout outs? Well, thank you two for coming on the show this week and the previous week, previous time. You guys are also doing an amazing job with your Lucidity saga, and there's so many people that we talk to, that we recommend it to, that love it, and you know, we hope you guys have some great success in the future like you have done. So
you've got to come on season 2 at some point.
Yeah, you'll be on season 2. We'll get you on. We'll get you on.
You are season 2.
You guys somehow in Lucidity.
That'll be mental.
That's got to happen too.
There are ways to do it. We'll talk.
We'll cardboard cut out our faces.
Fly over there. Just be like, yeah, get on it.
Just wear the Joe mask and the Smith mask. And just run around trying to get on women that you can't. That's basically
the whole episode.
For season two, we should have some live shows and some video shows. So when the time comes, we'll post more information about that. Also, we've got our website in the works now. We've got some designs going down. Hopefully, it will be some juicy media portal for Lucid Dreaming. That's what we're hoping for. So anyone who wants to get involved with that, please email us. It's at getlucid.uk@hotmail.co.uk. Any questions and stuff like that, just send it to that email as well. Or you can normally find us on Facebook. That's probably where we're most active. Just search Get Lucid on Facebook and you should see us there. But thanks to you guys for coming on. Thank you very much to everyone that listens this season. It's been a ridiculous ride. I mean, me and Smith never thought it was going to blow up like this.
It got more out of intense than Cock Horse when we got on that Cock Horse and rode it.
It's just... I cannot believe that we literally went from going, oh, Smith, do you want to do a shitty podcast? Yeah. To, you know, the amount...
Just am!
So thank you everyone for the support. It's been awesome. Please keep sending us emails and, you know, I'll try my best to reply to it. And we'll try and keep you updated ready for season two. So.
And the
Get Lucid!
Get Lucid!
Get on it! Get Lucid and get on the bird!
Do it now!
So,
charity, our charity website.
Oh, shit!
Yeah, we got charity.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. Me and Smith are cycling to Istanbul this summer, and we don't care about donations to our personal beings, you know, at all, because obviously it's really, really easy to do this podcast, so we don't need any funds. But please, if you can, send some money towards this worthy cause. I'll be posting it in the link. It's Raising Hope Foundation, and we're cycling, like, what is it, like 2,000 something miles?
Yeah, from London to Istanbul. Yeah. It's going to take over 2 months. It's going to be mental.
So
I've got the website here. It's www.charitygiving.co.uk/London2Istanbul.
There you go. And I'm glad we did. I'm glad you reminded me, Smith, or Chris would have stabbed me.
He would have. He would have come on the bike ride.
Yeah, he would have got well annoyed. But that's about everyone. And once again, thanks everyone for listening. Thank you to you two for coming on. It's been awesome. So
we love you too. Oh, it's awesome.
Sweet lucid dreams, everyone, and we'll see you next season of Get Lucid.
Yeah.